Hey, everybody. We are back with another special anniversary edition of the Parent Pivot Podcast. Not the anniversary of the podcast, but today, when this podcast is launched out to podcast world, it is our 36th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, sweetheart.
Happy anniversary to you.
Anyway, welcome to the Parent Pivot Podcast. I'm Steve Cummings.
And I'm Julia Cummings.
And as we always do, and those of you who are regular listeners know, we turn on the mics. And I turned to Julia, Dr. Julia.
Who's not really a doctor.
No, she's not. But she kind of really is, though, without having the degree. I turned to her and say, sweetheart, what are we talking about today?
I wanted to talk about loneliness.
Ooh.
And, you know, I kind of share why this kind of came about. So I'm part of this group that I just joined at church that is a class. And it's called, it's a woman, oh gosh, I think her name's Linda, no, Susan Miller, I think.
Okay.
And she has a ministry called Just Moved After You Open the Boxes, or something like
that.
Right,
which was interesting because as we've moved here, we've uprooted from Southern California in the Pacific Northwest. We were there for 3 years and moved cross country. It's taken us a while to build friendships.
Yeah, it takes a long time and... you know, it's funny because when we were newly married, we lived in Colorado for a couple of years while Steve was in seminary in Colorado.
At Denver Seminary.
Denver Seminary. And you used to always say how you tried to cut, you used a tree analogy.
Oh, that's right. I would say I pretty much uprooted my wife from California and stuck her in the ground in Colorado and said, there, grow. It's like taking an oak tree and cutting off 23, 24 when we got married?
No, I was 25.
Okay. I was underestimating. 25 years of a deep roots because Julie has deep friendships still,
yes,
to this day.
Yes.
And everybody's in Orange County and we're home church,
right,
originally where we met and things were from. So yes.
Yeah. So you used to always joke that, you know, I told her, you know, you tried to plant me.
Right. Yeah.
And the roots didn't take.
Like, why won't this grow?
Yep. Right. And then we would.
And I tried it again 30 years later.
Yeah. And then we would drive home to California.
Oh, yeah.
And Steve would always comment. It was like as soon as we crossed the border California,
yeah,
I would suddenly come back to life.
It's like one of those fast forward Kodak memory moments, or just picture this flower blooming in slow motion, really fast, and going, oh, what just happened to my wife? It's,
yeah,
like the sun came out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So, yes, 30 years later, we tried it all over again. Didn't take very well in Oregon at all. That was not a good experience.
Not good soil for us.
Yes, definitely not. Better here in Georgia because there was family here.
Yep.
So that is helpful.
And then the family that was here, we brought more family after we got here.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they came because we came.
Yeah. So my whole family of origin is here.
Yep.
My kids are not. My daughter is.
Yep.
But my three boys are on the West Coast.
Yep.
So all that to say, it's been a tough go. I have a tough time finding community, I guess, is the best way to put it. And even when you do make friends, sometimes it seems like the depth isn't there, or there just isn't, you know, roots is a good way of putting it, that you're not rooted in where people know,
right,
you well.
Right.
They know your children.
Right.
They've been with you,
right,
through many different, you know, seasons of life,
right,
whatever.
And maybe you've gone through this too. I mean, for us, when you move from one side of the country to the other,
yeah,
and your kids are growing up with other families, we've gone on vacation together, we've gone to birthday parties together, all events, whatever,
right,
you come to a whole new place.
Yeah.
And we're in a different phase. We're empty nesters. Now,
yeah,
we became empty nesters while we're here in Georgia.
Right.
And we're people like to hang out with us, I mean, the younger generation, and we'll get invited to stuff after church, but the missing piece is we don't get invited to weddings or birthday parties or things like that.
Yeah, it's very rare. Like, I mean, we have a wedding we're going to in May.
True.
We have a graduation party in May.
It's starting to happen. It just,
yeah,
takes a while. It's starting to happen.
Yeah, so we've been here almost six and a half years, and this has just started to happen. So anyway, back to this class.
Yeah.
we're newer to this church, and this class came up, and I thought, you know, I'm going to go check that out and see what it's like. The irony of this class, and I hope my people from my class are listening, but there are probably 13 or 14 of us. All of them except for one is from California.
Get out of town.
Yeah, I haven't told you that.
No.
Every time somebody new comes, it's like, and where are you from? California. No. So it's very humorous.
So Californians are moving to Texas, Tennessee, Florida, and Georgia.
Apparently Georgia
too.
So
how about that?
Anyway, so it's that's been kind of fun because there are some things that, you know, you can talk about that these people know what I'm talking about. So that's kind of fun. Anyway, but all that to say, one of the lessons was on loneliness.
Okay.
And I think, I mean, she's talking to women, mostly women, who have moved.
She is who?
The woman who leads this.
Oh, gotcha.
Who's got this ministry. Susan Miller, I believe is her name.
You guys are watching the video curriculum?
We're watching videos, okay. Yeah. So, and she's actually from Georgia and moved to Arizona. But anyway, she talks, there's a whole lesson on loneliness, a whole thing on loneliness. And it just, you know, we've talked about it before on the podcast about how lonely it can be in this stage of life, that nobody prepares you really for how lonely it can be. I've talked to many people who are figuring that piece out. And it's, you know, it's saying goodbye to your kids. It's also having to deal with elderly parents in many times. It's suddenly you don't have the same purpose that you're waking up to
every
day.
Things are changing. These seasons, a season's ending and new seasons are beginning, and we don't like change.
Right. And then there's the thing of, you know, your kids bring you community.
Yes.
And so when you're no longer dropping your kids off, you no longer have PTA, you no longer have sports you're going to, you aren't seeing people as much.
Right.
If you're not working, everything has come to a halt. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that and talk about perhaps some different things that we can do to deal with our loneliness.
Now, just so I can understand, as I'm the husband sitting on the other side of the microphone here, and we're talking to parents of adult children, mm-hmm. you know, we want to help them to pivot well from being that parent to partner.
Yeah.
Are we also talking about men who are lonely? Is this mostly affecting mom and the wife, and so we're kind of dealing with it in a different aspect?
Well, I can't speak for the men. Okay. I've only talked to women.
Okay.
Maybe you can.
I'll speak to that, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a life change no matter what.
Right.
I don't know if loneliness is the same problem that men have that women have.
Well, I think it's kind of a shift in the lack of, you know, your normal has changed. Yeah. You know, you would come home and the kids would be there. Or if they're in high school or college, you had things that you were doing, probably to go see them, you know, at a concert or an event or things like that. Or they're in and out of the house. A lot of times, you know, as teenagers get their driver's license, it's helpful to us. But then at the same time, it's like we see less of them.
Yes.
and then they go off to college. And depending on how close you are as a family, depends on what that communication looks like. I mean, how far they go away to college. Are they in town, across town, next state over, across the country, you name it. And everybody's got a different way of what that next season looks like. But now you're talking about, hey, for those of us out here who are parents of adult children and our kids are married and they're getting established in their careers and it looks like they're staying put and they don't live nearby, you're talking about that looks a lot different.
Well, even in the day-to-day, like I can think of somebody who told me about her move, and she moved to be near her kids.
Okay.
And you know, unbeknownst to her, the kids are busy and they have a life.
Yeah,
they have their children. I mean, her grandchildren are there and everything. But she doesn't get to see them as often as she thought she would.
Right.
So even if you've taken that step to move to be near your children and they're, you know, they still have their own families. They still have their own life.
And on the other end of the spectrum, we have friends from our home church in California who've moved to Tennessee to follow their kids. And they're very tight-knit. Plus, we have
busy.
We have some of our kids' friends who moved to North Carolina, and their parents from California, from our home church out there, moved to North Carolina.
Right.
So there are those where things do kind of work out, but it's not Might want to have those conversations before you move, I guess. Yeah. Before you sell the house and buy a new place, what's that going to look like?
Yeah.
Because you can be, you know, the thing with loneliness or anything is we can sometimes make a decision to move away because of different dynamics going on in your life. And it's kind of that proverbial, the grass is greener on the other side.
Right.
But guess what? The grass travels with you.
Yeah.
So sometimes those things, and we know this from counseling, depending on what those things are, can stay with you for a lifetime, and you really want to dig down. But that's not what we're talking about here. It's just this feeling of, hey, my life has changed, mm-hmm. the scenery's changed, and now I find myself with more time on my hands. It kind of goes hand in hand with looking for purpose.
Right, purpose. Like we've done a podcast on Get a Life.
Right.
And it can be very similar to that.
Yeah.
The thing that I would ask or question that you can ask yourself is, have I always struggled with loneliness? So even in the busiest of times, have you struggled with loneliness?
Right.
Because loneliness can be something that's inside of you that perhaps anybody looking at your life externally could not imagine that you are lonely.
Right.
But if it is something that's been a continual struggle in your life, then I would say maybe you need to look at that. There may be deeper reasons why you struggle with loneliness. I can think of in my own life, this has been a struggle for me in different times of my life. And I could go back to my childhood and kind of pinpoint why that is, and I can look at it. But again, that took some counsel. It took some deep diving into myself.
Yep.
It took some looking at a genogram.
Yep.
It took looking at several things for me to realize, you know what, there are deeper reasons for that this exists in my life. So it's something that pervades ongoing.
Yep.
And so that's something to look at and maybe something that you might want to get counsel about.
Yep.
And kind of have somebody help you dig a little deeper as to why loneliness is something that is just kind of part and parcel to maybe who you are on some level.
Yep. One of the things we like to do when we're podcasting and talking is all of a sudden resources will come to mind and we'll put them down in the show notes so you can check them out. And as you were talking, sweetie, I couldn't help but think about a book called Seven Desires.
Mm.
And there are seven desires that we all face as humans that we long for. And possibly one of these seven desires could be that if it's not being met, it leads to loneliness.
Yeah.
The seven desires, the first one, to be heard and understood, mm-hmm. is big. To be affirmed. I think a lot of us in our childhood, we never felt affirmed. And so we're constantly seeking that. You're either going to respond in a way to seek it and go, you know, bonkers after it, or you're going to shrink back and go, woe is me, I've never been affirmed, and kind of play the victim.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I preach validation so much,
right.
Is that people need to feel validated,
right.
And they need to be seen, heard, and understood.
Right, so to be heard and understood, second one, to be affirmed, the third one, to be blessed. You know, what does that look like to be blessed? I mean, do you look at your life, do you feel like you have a blessing? One of the things that I learned quickly in a class I took was that someone had said that fear and gratitude, anxiety and gratitude cannot coexist in your heart at the same time. So I would even say that with any negative emotion like loneliness. It's like, what am I going to do? I'm feeling lonely, but am I really lonely? I mean, how do I handle this strong feeling of that? So, and part of what I would try to do, and sometimes is just start going, okay, what am I grateful for? What am I thankful for? So blessings. The fourth one is to be safe. We all have a desire to be safe. Five, this is like my number one love language, and Julie knows this. We all have a desire to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people might say, I don't want to be touched, but you know, it's like we really have a desire to be nurtured. I mean, that's part of why you always see, like, we're watching Jamie Lynn with little Florence. And the other day, Florence was in her stroller, and Jamie Lynn was going to take her outside on a walk. And so she had to quickly run in the bathroom. So I said, oh, I'll go keep her happy. And so I did. And little Florence smiled at me. And the next thing I knew, she burst into a scream, just screamed bloody murder. I thought I had done something, but I'm being told that she just had gas. Maybe that's just to make Pop feel better. But anyway, all that to say is I watched Jamie Lynn pick her up And little Florence just snuggled up to her mommy
yeah.
because she needed that touch. We all need that touch, whether you're 8, 18, or 80. You can sit there and deny that we do, but that's a human thing that we want touch. Number 6 is to be chosen. None of us want to be left out. Number 7, as we just talked about in our move across country, we want to be included.
Yeah.
So a lot of times those 7 desires, something can creep in there that says, well, because 3 of these aren't getting met or whatever, I'm lonely. Where is everybody? I don't have any purpose. And you, I give you credit for going, you know what? I'm going to go sign up for something. I'm going to go to a class.
Yeah.
We're new to this church, and there's a class about being new to the church. Yeah. And I'm going to sign up for that. So kudos to you.
Yeah, about those 7 desires, I want to point out, and this is the psychology aspect of this, I'm going to take you back to attachment theory and the importance of attachment when you are young. And if you didn't experience healthy attachment, then it will come out in these other ways. And so sometimes when we talk about love languages or those 7 desires, sometimes whatever attachment we've experienced will come out in that.
Right.
So if I felt unseen and unheard, I didn't have someone to run to comfort me when I was little, things like that. That all creates attachment. And then if I don't experience that, then I'm not feeling heard or understood or seen. Or
now you're probably sitting there listening and going, what does this all have to do with being a parent of an adult child and pivoting? But as I'm sitting here now, I'm thinking, you know what? Our kids grow up in our families, and we think we give them all 7 perfectly fine.
Yeah.
guess what? We fail in you know, a few of them all the time.
Yeah.
And so part of it is just to sit there and say, hey, I understand. How well can you listen to your adult child and affirm them and go, yep, I get it. Like, we've had those conversations with our kids. We've interviewed them, been on podcasts. And it's like, wow, yeah, to see things from your perspective, I get it. But those 7 desires are in all of us.
Yeah.
They're in our adult kids, and maybe you've been a parent that hasn't given a whole lot of affection and stuff. I don't think I got a hug from my dad till I was like a teenager in high school, and it felt awkward because it wasn't something we do all the time.
Yeah.
And in our family, we hug all the time.
Yeah. Well, and we do have one child that didn't, actually 2 children that didn't like touch much, but
we kind of forced them.
Yeah. But Campbell, you know, I forced him, and I would tell him, because he was so opposed to it. And I would say, Campbell, I know you don't like it, but you need it. And so I'm going to do it anyway.
Right.
And then I would just hug him.
Yep.
And then I don't know if I've shared this story before. I know I've shared it in many other places, but maybe not on the podcast. I don't know. But when he was like in elementary school and junior high, how I capitalized on that was he would forget things often. And so when I take them to school for him, I told him, okay, you have to hug me now. And so he'd get this little smirk on his face, and he'd give me a hug, and he'd do it in front of his friends and everything. And it was sweet. It was,
yeah.
And now as an adult, you know, I remember a few years back before he was married, when he was single and kind of living on his own a little bit, him feeling a bit lonely. And I remember him once saying, I just want to be hugged so badly.
Right. We all need to connect. We all need connection. I remember the time sometimes I felt lonely, and I think you were traveling or something like that. And I was doing walking with Coda, our dog, who we missed now. He's been gone for almost a year. Anyway, I had to put him down. But I would walk and I'd say, Lord, I just need a hug. And by the time I got to Starbucks, there's a lady that worked there. Do you remember, what was her name?
Josie?
Yeah, Josie. Oh. Yeah, Josie at Starbucks. And I said a prayer to the Father, if I just need a hug. And I remember going up just to order my same Starbucks thing, and she saw me all the time. And for whatever reason, on this day, she goes, oh, Steve. She comes around the counter and gives me a hug. Mm. And I thought, you know what? Thank you, Father, for that hug. I needed touch.
Yeah.
And I needed that. But I'm a parent of an adult child. I want to pivot well. I'm feeling lonely.
And I want to say the whole idea of this is actually twofold.
Okay.
One is to be aware of your own loneliness.
Yeah.
And to do something about it, whether that be doing like what I've done and take a class somewhere or do something that connects you somehow with people that maybe on a little deeper level. You know, you could take a pottery class, But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have a meaningful conversation with anyone. You might find a friend there and go out after for coffee afterward or whatever. That's great. So it's taking care of your own loneliness, looking at it, realizing that, hey, I'm kind of wallowing in this loneliness a bit.
Yep.
And then coming up with things that you can do to balance that. So reaching out to people, even if it's through text, people that you know, ask them how they are.
Right.
Getting your eyes off yourself, getting into counseling and talking to someone about that, getting involved with something.
Yeah.
Did you want to add?
Well, I was just going to say on that thought, keep your number two going. Yeah. But as I've watched you do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've watched you. Julie has seasonal affective disorder. We get bad weather here.
Season.
Did I do that wrong?
No, it is. It's called, it's sad.
Yeah.
It's seasonal. Yeah, I guess that is what you call it. Seasonal, affective disorder.
So I got it right.
Yeah, you did.
Can I hear you say that?
Yeah, you got it right.
Thank you.
For some reason, it sounded funny to me. Like, I'm like,
anyway, all that to say is I've seen you do exactly what you're saying. So as she gives this counsel to y'all out there, she has done the hard work herself to do that. And where was I going with this? I don't remember. Go ahead and go on to number two. I'll remember later.
And then the second piece is actually being aware of perhaps where your children are, if they are feeling lonely, and being aware of their emotional makeup and what's happening with them. And maybe you need to reach out to them. Maybe you need to pursue them a little, not going overboard with that, but, you know, just being aware and actually giving them that idea of being seen and heard, being a safe place for them to talk to and to be heard, not problem solving, not fixing, but actually just listening and allowing them to download.
Absolutely.
And you should look for the same in your life. If you have a spouse that maybe isn't good at that, then what I would recommend is, if you want to talk to them about it, is preface your conversation with, hey, I want to talk to you about something. I need you to just listen. Please don't problem solve or anything.
Right.
But I would appreciate if I could just download with you.
So, makes sense.
Yeah.
I remember what I wanted to say.
Okay.
There's a book that I read called Atomic Habits.
Oh, yeah.
And as I heard you saying that, it's like coming up with little things to get you out of your loneliness.
Yeah.
You know, like you made an intentional effort to go, I'm going to go to this Wednesday night class and see what happens. And you're meeting other ladies there who've just moved here. Kind of the same thing going on in their lives. But Atomic Habits is all about finding one small thing, not a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do something huge. I'm going to change some type of behavior in my day. I'm going to get up. And I'm going to go walk the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to walk the neighborhood, and Julie's amazed that I know all the neighbors' names. I know where all the dogs, I know the dogs' names and where they live.
Yeah.
But that's me. But things happen. It's just, you know, have a conversation along the way. Who knows what's going to happen? But making one small change in your day, you know, then starts to lead to a repetitive thing, and pretty soon it becomes part of your life. So maybe that means on such and such a day, you're going to spend the morning texting some friends.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, you're going to get up and go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just throwing things out there, but come up with those different things and watch it, you know, maybe take away some of that loneliness.
Yeah. Loneliness is a tough thing. And it's at epidemic proportions.
It really is.
Everybody of every age.
Yes.
And our telephones don't help with it. I think they give us a false sense of connection. But really what we're wanting is face-to-face connection with people. And so make an effort to get the face-to-face connection with people.
Right.
Even if it means, you know, I go to Starbucks every day, and I shouldn't because it's expensive. But those people know me when I walk in. They call me by my name. It's like, cheers, Julia.
Yeah,
and
I don't get that.
And I love that. It makes me feel seen.
Right.
So as ridiculous as that sounds.
You're not lonely when you go there.
Yeah, I like to go there.
And then when I'm traveling, and you know this, when I'm traveling and I don't have any appointments to go see anybody, I will go camp out at Panera Bread.
Right.
With everybody else that's setting up office in there.
Yeah.
And things. Because I get to see people, and when I go on a regular basis and I'm a different city, I go to the same Panera Bread.
Yeah.
And they're starting to recognize me, and they'll say hi. What brings you back? And I go, well, big giant airplane from Atlanta, Georgia. my humor's not that They don't laugh that much. You laugh at my humor once in a while. But anyway, but yeah, just making that change to get away from that. And again, that by you doing that and taking care of yourself, that's going to cause your that's going to cause you to grow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And in doing that, it helps our kids see that. Our adult kids are going to see that. And things. Everything's not always focused and directed at, hey, I need to do something with them or for them or things like that. But in order for us to become more healthy in our thoughts and our emotions, we can focus on things like that. And the things we're learning may help them. You may have a daughter who's moved away to another part of the country and she's lonely.
Yeah.
And you're sitting in your place and you're lonely. Well, what could happen? Mom, you could probably, you know, take some steps to counteract your loneliness, and that mm-hmm. could help shepherd your daughter. Because again, we're looking for a relationship with our adult kids to pivot well and make healthy decisions. And so we just thought that loneliness might be a good topic today to talk about.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I want to encourage people, if this is something that you struggle with, to really make an effort to do something about it and be intentional about it. Because it's really easy to sit back and wait for somebody to notice you or do something.
Right.
And it may not ever happen.
And nobody ever wants to talk about their loneliness because it sounds like it's poor, pitiful me.
Yeah.
But we all feel lonely. We just either choose to ignore it. We choose to medicate it and things like that. One of the things that I think has been super about this podcast is we've had folks reach out to us and ask for some sessions to counsel and whatever. So if that's something where you're dealing with heavy loneliness, we would love to spend some time talking to you. And just put that in an email, send that to parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com, and you can address Julia or me. We both see the emails, we talk about it. And we've been able to actually help people across state lines because we're able to do that. So we can do counseling across state lines from Georgia because that's what we have. And so we're happy to reach out and help. So give us an email there. What else?
That's about it. I did want to ask you, though, just because at the beginning we were talking about men and the way they handle it.
Yep.
So I'm thinking about just this past week. I went to California.
Yep.
I left you and went to California to meet our new grandbaby.
Yep.
And Steve stayed home.
Yep.
And he did some travel also. But what do you do in those times when I'm gone?
Right.
Or you're feeling lonely? What would you say that men do?
So I have a ministry called Bringing Kingdom. If you went to bringingkingdom.org, I have a ministry with men, and we're journeying with each other. So I have about 12 men that meet on my porch either on Tuesday or Wednesday night. I'm pretty deeply connected to those guys. And when there's a few of us that do travel for work. Mm-hmm. So when I'm on the road, I have someone I can reach out to. Hey, I'm at Panera Bread. And if I'm feeling lonely, I can just pick up the phone and call them, or they'll call me. That's one thing that goes on. As I'm around the house, when I'm home and you're gone, like I think last week was the first part of the week I was still home.
Yeah.
So I made sure I was scheduling appointments. I had to go schedule an appointment to go to the stretch zone. I had an appointment with one of our pastors from church. I'm intentionally blocking out things from my day to get out of the house. Mm-hmm. I have days and hours that we're helping Jamie Lynn watch Florence, so I'll be there for a couple hours for that. I'm also trying to get out and go to a coffee shop and kind of hang out there. So I'm intentionally, and pretty soon the day passes. The one thing I really look forward to, when Julia's gone, I get to turn on baseball games. And I don't get a single complaint. So I'll watch a whole baseball game from first inning to the ninth inning, and I'm in heaven. And I got my black cherry, boiling black cherry soda going on. I've got some type of probably Chick-fil-A meal, and I'm just like, this is cool. So yeah, I mean, there's a variety of things. But I think for men, we have to be thinking of, I've got to find my best friend, a best buddy, somebody to just talk to. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we as men don't like to talk about negative emotions. I'm not supposed to feel lonely. Mm. Only kids feel lonely. Only women feel lonely. Men don't feel lonely. That's a lie from the pit of hell and smells like smoke. Mm. Okay, so admit the fact that you are lonely, and hopefully you're not heading over to a bar or doing something else to medicate that. What are you doing? Don't bury yourself and isolate. Mm-hmm. Isolation's not the key to loneliness. Connection is. We were built for connection. So reach out to somebody and let somebody know, hey, I'll let people know. Julie's traveling next week and everybody knows, okay, I'm going to shoot Steve a text, check in on him. How's he doing?
Yeah.
So it's having that community around you. We can't do this alone. And connection and having that time is the key to helping solve that loneliness problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the admitting part.
I do want to throw this out there. I have come across two apps that in the last 3 or 4 months, one I think I've talked about before, that has really helped me to deal with loneliness if I'm feeling that way. One is called the Dwell app. I'm going to put a connection to it here in our show notes. And you can find different scriptures or things like that which will point you to, you know, that loneliness thing. So I'm listening to scripture off this app. It's one thing to read the word. It's another thing to listen to it. And I would also recommend to listen to it in the Message version because the Message version kind of just gives it that ordinary conversational tone to it. It's still got the truth of what's behind that, but you kind of hear it in a different light and go, oh, that makes sense. The other app is one called Abide.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them have subscriptions, so they're both, you know, you got to spend $40 a year for it. But I think it's well worth it because in the Abide app, there's actually music and somebody talking to you. It's almost like having a spiritual counselor or spiritual director walking you through loneliness and speaking truth into you because loneliness comes from the lies that we believe. I'm all alone, which, you know, spiritually speaking, we are not.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part is, how do I get in touch? How do I feel God's presence so I'm not alone? And I think the Dwell app and the Abide app, I'll put a connection to them in our show notes. They've been helpful to me. That's one way to really kind of go, all right, I'm feeling lonely. I'm going to turn to these tools, these resources. I'm going to call someone. I'm going to go do something. I'm going to get out of the house. I'm going to turn on this app, turn on that app. That's worked for me.
Okay.
That's a long answer to your short question.
Yeah, I'm not really an app person, so I don't like all of the clutter on my phone.
You can put them in folders and group things.
Yeah, this morning I was at Starbucks, and the guy in front of me was trying to find his Starbucks app, and he must have swiped his phone like 5 or 6 times, just filled with apps,
oh,
trying to find
it. He needs to put them in folders. He's an organized iPhone user.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, that is too many apps. And I try to keep mine at just minimum. But anyway, you didn't talk about the 1 minute pause app.
Oh,
I was surprised. I'm surprised
that's true.
That.
You're right. I'll put that in there too. So the 1 minute pause app from John Eldridge has the prayer of benevolent detachment in it almost every day. There's a 30-day program called Resilient. It's based on his book, Resilient.
Which we highly recommend.
Highly recommend. I mean, you've used it in your counseling sessions.
It's
I've used it in mine. And the people who recommend it to, they love it because we're living in a day and age where all these emotions are hitting us. Anxiety, worry, fear, loneliness. How do we handle it? Well, John walks us through in a very soothing way, some deep breathing exercises, some music, some gentle talking to, reminding us of truth and just praying. It's like, I've got to release my adult children to the Lord. I've got to release my anxiety. I've got to release this prayer request. And it has been a godsend for me because over the last 3.5-4 years that I've been using it almost daily, I every morning I've got to wake up and I've got to remind myself that, you know, there's a great God in this world who cares about me. And all these feelings that I'm waking up with are just feelings. They go away. But the Pause app is another one I highly recommend. And that one doesn't cost anything. So you just go to your app store and just type in Pause. It's got a white icon with three stripes to it, like a pause button. And make sure you go to the Resilient, 30-day Resilient part on that. That's another huge help. So yeah, thanks for reminding me of that one.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's all I really have.
Okay.
I think we've covered the topic.
Yep, we're going to talk about the 7 desires. We're going to talk about these apps. We put them in the show notes so you have access to those. Again, and if you need any help from us, you want to converse with us about anything and give us ideas. We're getting ideas left and right about podcasts. So send us an email at parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com.
And tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Yeah, share this. Share this all over the place. And we're going to have some interviews coming up. We just sent out a bunch of emails. We won't tell you who, but
we're trying to get some
interviews going and some guests that are well known that you're going to know. So we're taking a shift and trying to bring those people on. And I hope you'll join us next time for the next edition of the Parent Pivot Podcast.
Bye.